Blog Talk Radio.
You'll be listening to Box Set here on GoatBoxMedia.com with your host.
If the laws of physics no longer apply in the future, God help you.
The oh so sexy cat.
Oh, my breath, they're really strong.
And the almighty bad.
It's simple. Just take the hydraulic phase shift emulator and attach it to the transdimensional proton particle emitter. New talent.
From somewhere high atop the tower of, I don't know, a really tall tower, this is Boxheads Radio here on CodeBoxMedia.com. I am your wonderful host, Baz. Joining me, as always, is Shriggs in the call screening room and Kat, our wonderful host. How's it going, Kat?
Good, Baz. How are you doing, hon?
Good, good. It's been an interesting long week. As stated before the show, we are all pretty tired, so it's a very open forum show for this week, everybody. So if you guys want to call in with topics, comments, or whatever the hell you guys want to talk about, it's cool. Call in at this number, 347-838-9713. That's 347-838-9713. And we will get to your call as soon as we can. But please, no trolling, because Shriggs will smite thee, and it will hurt. But anyway, Kat, what have you been up to this week?
Actually, I've been really trying to get everything together. I've got 41 days until I leave this state and move over to Delaware. So trying to get everything together with that, and allergies here have been so bad. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been watching the weather and the pollen and everything, but it's so bad here in Arkansas, and it's just, it's killer on me. So so I've been dealing with that. And, the sinus headaches and shit is just pissing me off on top of having to deal with the move. But as well as it kind of working its way into my invasion of privacy with my Shepard on Mass Effect. It's just, you know, once I get into that state of mind, I'm like, everybody leave me alone. I am doing my thing with my girl. But it just never works out that way. So I've actually started Mass Effect 2 over.
I noticed that.
Yeah. I went and I did the whole thing over, played an engineer, and then kind of picked up from that point into Mass Effect 3. So I'm really deep into the game right now.
Apparently, have you gotten the rewards that you got from, what is it, Riptar, whatever the heck that website you use is called? Because
yeah,
I noticed that they gave you rewards for never going outside, apparently. Like, hey, you haven't seen the sun in a couple of days, so here's some free swag.
You know, that's funny because why would I even want to go outside with the pollen the way it is? You know what
I mean?
Yeah,
they're like, hey, it's like they're encouraging you to actually go outside. Here's a sweater. It'll keep you warm since you have such delicate skin. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's freaking hilarious.
I know.
That is so funny. Isn't it bad when you're, like, playing a game and you're like, it's such a nice day out. I wish it wasn't. I wish it was thunderstorming and raining so then I wouldn't have an excuse.
I have had those days numerous times growing up. You're just like, oh, man, it's nice outside. I'm just going to keep playing games. And just,
you know, it's
close
true.
All the blinds, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's actually bad outside. It's terrible.
Well, then I feel guilty because my husband and my kids are like, hey, let's go outside and go for a bike ride. And I'm like, what the hell is a bike ride?
What's a bike? Is that that thing that you jump on and you press the W key and you can use your move your mouse and it actually moves? But yeah.
You mean I actually have to use my legs? Nah.
I know. Who uses their legs? But anyway, we actually have a interesting guest on this week. Not a super famous, awesome company, but we actually have a local in the gaming community here. His name is Alex, and he is a Twitch.tv streamer and the proud host of Ghost Gaming. Alex, are you there, sir?
I am here from the Abyss again.
Awesome, awesome. From the Abyss.
Hi, Alex.
From the Abyss. Hi there. How you guys doing?
Good, good. Wonderful to have you.
It's awesome to be here.
Yes. We have been talking for the past couple weeks. I just randomly found your stream while I was at work. And I enjoy watching Minecraft streams because they're really just kind of fun to watch. And what really kind of got me about you is you really interact with your viewers, and you've gained a lot of popularity just in the past couple of weeks, which is really, really surprising. There's not a lot of people that can really kind of drum up that amount of support that quickly. So you're obviously doing something correctly.
Yeah.
You know, the first question that I kind of had in my mind when I was just kind of watching your stream is what kind of got you started, and how have you improved yourself? I guess would be the base question of this little time here with you.
Yeah, interesting. I've gotten asked that question a lot, but never in that detail. What I got started was, it's actually kind of funny. I never have been a guy to watch YouTube videos, and everybody's always surprised about this. You know, I don't follow anybody on YouTube. I've never followed anybody on Twitch. The thing that first got me to streaming was, I remember a long time ago, I watched this guy on, before Twitch was even Twitch, it was like Justin TV still.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched this guy play GTA, and I noticed that, you know, he really interacted with his fans too, and I always thought that'd be cool to do, but I never did it because I thought people would hate me. I thought I would be the guy that would get shunned in the corner with, like, two fans, you know? And, like, I'd have the one guy who, like, held the sign, like, "Ghost for president!" And, like, there would be nobody else there.
Yeah.
And I remember me and my buddies were playing Minecraft, and we wanted to start a server. And, I mean, it was a horrible server. It was, like, Hamachi and, like, you know, it was really, really bad server. And they were like, "Oh, dude, you should go on Twitch to start it." And what I started was, it's kind of funny, because when I first started, literally, what I would do is I would go on people's servers. I wouldn't grief, but we would go on servers that we had, and we would blow stuff up. We would just blow the whole world up. That's all we would do. We'd blow the world up for an hour, and then we'd log off. And that's all I would do. And it was, you know, it was like, I thought it was the coolest thing ever to have, like, three people in there. Then I kind of thought about it. I was like, you know, wow, I have 10 fans from blowing stuff up. What if I actually start playing the game? You know, will people actually come? So I decided to – I had a partner there for a little bit. And that didn't work. I can't do it with another person. My humor just doesn't work with two people. And so I finally started just doing this whole thing by myself. And I definitely say improve myself. I honestly haven't changed a bit. I'm still myself. I found the best thing is to just be me. And that's what people like. The crazy, spazzy, awkwardly singing in the middle of talking, me. That's what people like. And that's what I've done. And it's a lot of fun to do.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you know, just kind of going off that question, you explained a little bit about what you do, but tell us a little bit more in depth what your channel brings, and I guess maybe is there a reason for your madness, or do you just kind of do it for fun?
Is there a reason for it? No, there's really no reason. It's just I do it for fun. You know, it is for me. The whole stream is, it's a community thing. It's about the family. That's what it really brings, is this sense of family and everybody's together. And, you know, I talk to everybody one-on-one. I make sure I try and interact with them as much as I can. You know, I let everybody add me on my personal Skype. And I will stream other games, you know, mostly I just do Minecraft. But the main thing I like to do is just to be there with the fans and to interact with them and then just have a lot of fun there. And there's no reason for my madness. I think I'm just naturally insane. I think that might be it.
Well,
it's not an act, but, you know.
You'll fit in here quite well.
There we go, right?
That's the greatest thing about the gaming industry in a whole, is that everybody is so down to earth. And it's, what is the sense in getting on a damn game and trying to be somebody you're not? I mean, that's just
exactly
ridiculous. I mean, the greatest thing about it is people like you who are themselves, and they want to see that.
Exactly, and you know, I don't want to call any names. I'm not going to like start a beef on your stream, but I've watched other people, and you know, they're not themselves. It's very robotic. It's not a viewer. It's a number. It's a number to them. They get their paycheck at the end of the day, and they get off. And you know, I don't understand. And people are always like, you know, you must be streaming for years. I've been doing this as of yesterday. It has officially been 2 months that I've been streaming, and I'm almost at 3,000 fans.
Yeah. Well, you actually bring up a really good point, is there are so many streams who just play or, you know, like one of my favorite things to do is watch really, really good streamers that play like Dota 2 or StarCraft and actually talk during your stream. But hardly anyone does that anymore because, you know, one, I understand it's really, really hard to talk and play at the same time. Trust me. I mean, I just recently started a Let's Play of Half-Life 2 on our YouTube channel, and holy crap, It is so difficult.
It is. It's just imagine having 300 people and they're trying to read the chat all at once.
Oh,
that's
my
what
gosh.
I do.
It's just, it's difficult. And, you know, I really respect you for actually doing that because you just don't see it anymore. It's one of those things where as the hiccups come at the worst time in my sentence there.
All the time.
Oh, I know. I don't even remember what I was saying. I got distracted. So, yes. Props for talking while streaming. I mean, that is actually a lot more difficult than people actually realize. And,
yeah, like, I get a lot of people that sorry to interrupt you, but I get a lot of people, I just want to touch on this, I get a lot of people that come in there, and they hear me talking to the viewers, and then they want a shout-out, which, you know, I get that all the time, and I'm totally fine with giving a shout-out, because I'm a gamer. I'm nobody better. I'm not some guy on this high pedestal. I'm a video gamer. I've watched YouTube videos. I've watched these guys. I know how much it means to just at least hear your name, whether it's your screen name or your real name. It's awesome.
Right.
And then I get these guys that I don't see their chat, and, I mean, there's some people come in there, and they don't understand it. Like, they turn into, like, a demon when you don't say their name. They're like, oh, sweet Jesus, he didn't respond to me. And, like, they freak out, and it's like people don't understand that I'm sitting here trying to play Minecraft hardcore nonetheless, so I die, I'm gone forever, and read 500 a couple days ago, concurrent people talking, I'm trying to read everybody talking, and I do pretty well, but, I mean, people don't understand that it's not that easy, especially when it's live. When it's recording, it's hard enough. When it's live, it's a whole other world to be in.
Yeah. And for those of you who are wondering, Ghost's channel is www.twitch.tv/ghost0523.
Yes.
Is there a special reason you picked 0523, or are you just going to go, I'm going to close my eyes and type four numbers?
Actually, no, 0523. The other numbers I typed that, like, at the end of my Skype name are totally just random numbers. 0523 is actually, I've always used, like, nines or fives or sevens. Those are my favorite numbers. 0523 is actually stands for May 23rd.
Oh, okay.
Date.
Okay.
And Ghost Gaming was taken, so there you go.
Ah, well, you know, yeah. Unfortunately, that's the problem with the internet is you know, you're like, oh, well, this would be a really cool website, and then you try and claim it. And it's like it's taken. We're like, well, what is it? And then you go to, like, you know, I don't know, applebutts.com or something.
Right, exactly. Like
it's a picture of an apple that someone photoshopped of a butt on or something.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. Like,
so,
there's a Ghost Gaming website, which isn't mine, and it hasn't been updated in, like, 4 years. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't even get this website. It's like some old League of Legends website from Germany, and it's totally random. None of the links work or anything.
Yeah, well, but hey.
What are you going to do?
Nothing, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Was there a role model that inspired you to start streaming, or was just your friends kind of, you know, peer pressuring you into jumping off a bridge?
It was honestly mostly my friends peer pressuring me to jumping off a bridge. There was nobody I ever looked forward to. It's funny because people come in there and, you know, like Princess Diana or Cilantro, you know, these big games are like, oh, dude, you know them. And it's funny. I have no idea who most of these people are. I didn't know who the hell Captain Sparkles was until, like, I started streaming. And people are like, oh, my God, how does he not know?
Okay, I don't even know who Captain Sparkles is.
Captain Sparkles is, like, some big YouTube guy, I guess. I don't know. I haven't even Googled him. I don't know, but I get all these questions all the time.
Captain Sparkles, that sounds just like a kind of a creepy person.
It does. Like, I imagine somebody who probably drives a white van, you know, white van and hands out candy to little kids on the corner.
I got candy, get in the van.
Right.
I've got delicious candy for you.
What are you
going
for, Captain Sparkles van? You know, like, really, something like that. That's what I picture, but...
Yeah, well, hey.
Now you're going to start getting me beef. It's going to be, like, rap beef, and it's going to be, like Twitch beef. He's going to come on here and be like, what the hell, bro?
Well, you want to know what's really fun about the internet is defacing trolls, because there are a couple trolls that kind of, I think, watch your stream on a daily basis, and they're like, I'm going to troll them, and then you're just like, yeah, no, you're not going to troll me.
I'm very good at getting rid of the trolls.
You are.
I call them out, like, I give them what they want, only I do it in a way they don't want it, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. Mm-hmm.
They want the attention, but the attention they get is not what they want. They're like, oh, son of a bitch, you know?
Yeah.
And I've actually had one guy, he came into my stream, that's funny that you mentioned the troll thing, one guy came to my stream, and I mean, this guy, I think he was probably like 12, right? You know, little kid, just the way he was talking. And he's trying to troll, and he's going all hardcore. And I just, everything he would say, I would turn around on him or anything, and basically at the end of the stream, I check my private messages. I have a message from him apologizing and saying he's now a big fan of the stream because Quentin trolled me. He's like, I'm going to watch you every day. He's like, you're my favorite streamer.
That's awesome.
No trolling here. That's one of my big things. It's like I said, it's a family. You know, we don't allow racism. No trolling.
Right.
We mess with each other, but none. If it comes down to it, if it's real, then you can go ahead and get out.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
I think most people that troll have issues. They just want to be recognized. I mean, they're on the verge of screaming out for help in some sort of way. So you just got to mention them and then move on, and then they're happier than a pig in shit. So, you know, kind of works that way.
That's exactly how it usually goes. They usually end up being fans, or they don't, and then I just ban them. Hey, I have a ban hammer. It's cool. I feel powerful. That's a magical ban hammer.
That's, yeah.
Or as I like to call it, my battle axe of doom.
The ban hammer is something that's, I think, needed for anyone that really kind of has a successful streaming or a successful anything, because, you know, some people just kind of get out of hand and they start using words that they probably shouldn't. And you're just like, okay, well, you know what? You're just obviously here to cause problems, so goodbye.
Exactly. And I absolutely hate banning people. I really do. I do not like getting rid of anybody, not because they could be a possible fan, but because, I mean, everybody should get along. There's way too much hate. And we are, you know, everybody there is playing video games. You're watching me play a video game. We are all from the same cloth, whether you want to admit it or not. We're all nerds and we're all video gamers. Why do you guys got to hate on each other? I don't understand that.
Yeah, you know, the internet is definitely one of those places where it's just a crazy mixture of everyone, but everyone still hates each other. So
everybody hates each other, no matter what. There's always a little bit of hate, it seems like.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
You know, one question, I'm not sure if you are aware of this, but Ghost Gaming does abbreviate GG. Was this intentional?
This was not intentional at all, but I think it's kind of funny because GG is something I say quite a bit, especially in online gaming, and it works.
Okay, well, you know, it's something that I was actually thinking of last night. I was like, you know, that actually spells GG if you use abbreviations. That's actually pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it makes for very easy designs. Very, very easy
designs
to make.
That's true. I mean, you know, you have, like, those other streams, they're just, like, these huge long names, and you got the banner of, like, six different words, and you're like, what is this? I'm not sure what's going on. But no, yours is simple, Ghost Gaming. It's just a
GG,
nice...
Yeah.
I've been
very blessed to have an awesome graphic designer who can make awesome G's.
Yeah, Shriggs is our graphic designer, and he does a superb job. And Photoshop is just not my friend, and it takes me hours to do something cool.
Oh, dude, Photoshop,
and he's like, oh, I can do that. Hold on. 5 minutes later, here you go. And I'm like, holy crap, that would have taken me 6.5 days to learn.
Oh,
he can do good G's. It's just the G spot he has problems with.
Oh, wow. Really?
Bam. Slap down.
We love
you,
Shrig.
I'm so sorry for you. I don't even know you, but I want to give you a hug now, man. I'm so sorry.
Hey, Kat, do you have any questions for our main man, Alex, here?
Yeah. Besides Minecraft, what other games do you stream?
What a lot of people like to watch me stream is Amnesia. I get very scared very easily, and Amnesia is something people absolutely love to watch me play. I do a lot of custom stories, and I have to say, if anybody ever watches me play Amnesia, rest in peace, headphone users, ahead of time. I suck myself out, and I also like to stream. I have 200 games on Steam. I have way too many games, and people just keep giving me games. Like, they pile them on me. I definitely plan on streaming Skyrim, and I'm going to be getting into League of Legends here soon, which is exciting. I'm pretty pumped to try that out. And down the road, hopefully, I will, even though I'm a little late to the party, to try out some StarCraft 2. That'd be fun. And apologize for my dog ahead of time.
That's okay.
No problem. My
cat likes to meow constantly during the day because he wants to go outside, and he's not allowed to. So.
Yeah,
Baz has a problem with his cat.
Yeah,
she's like, should I use that word or should I not? We'll just refrain from that.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. This is going to be a great show. I can tell already.
Well, it's funny because every single time I hear you yelling at your cat and you say, cat, get off of there, I think you're talking about me. And it's just kind of like really odd, Baz.
Yeah, well, you're the one that named yourself Cat, not me.
It's not my fault. That's my name.
Oh, wow.
Well, quiet, dear. My wife's like, he does have a thing for cats.
I love your
furry
wife.
We got a furry fan here.
Oh, no, come on now. It's not like that.
Fan. That's it. I see. It all makes sense now. Baz is a furry. I understand.
Hey, no, in all honesty, those things creep me out.
I agree. And hey. I've had people ask me that.
What is your all-time favorite game, and what games you just despise on cellular level?
On a cellular, all right, this is going to be, I knew you were going to ask this question, and I've been thinking, I've been racking my brain over, because making one favorite game is, like, impossible for me.
Oh, I know it is, yeah.
I'm going to change the question. I'm going to give you a top three, and then I'm going to narrow it down to one, because
that's
fine.
To.
I'd have to say my top three games of all time would have to be, and I might get hate for this one a little bit, especially if any of you guys play Dungeon Keeper.
Oh, yeah.
I never got into DK1. I was DK2 fanboy. So okay. A lot of people would like, a lot of people, a lot of the forums I've been on, like, I would get stuck to, you know, the stake and burned at the cross and shit like that, because DK1 is like the holy grail and everybody says DK2 is a step back. But Dungeon Keeper 2 was, I absolutely adore that game and I still play that game to this day. And then I would have to say that would be one. Two would have to be Baldur's Gate 2.
Yeah.
I was a huge Baldur's Gate fan. And when I heard about the enhanced coming back and everything, I had a little bit of a fanboy moment. By a little bit, I mean I was jumping around my room screaming. And then my third all-time favorite game would have to be, simply for no other reason than how many hours I put in the game, how many friends I made, would have to definitely be Star Wars Galaxies.
That's fair. Yeah.
If I had to narrow it down, I would have to say SWG takes it, only for the fact that I got so much entertainment out of the game and so many people I made, so many awesome friends I still talk to this day.
Yeah, well, you know, you actually kind of remind myself of me and Kat, because, you know, we're like, really, really huge kind of I'm not sure how big of a fan you are of Star Wars Galaxies. Did you?
Oh, big.
Okay.
Very huge fan.
Okay. I love SWG.
Just making sure.
Rest in peace, of course.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately... Tour didn't do it any
did
justice.
Not. No, no.
But that's another conversation for another time.
Yeah, that could go on forever.
So
exactly.
Yeah. Back to the question here. And what game do you hate the most? I mean, there's so many to choose from because there's so many bad games out there.
Yeah.
But I guess the question should really be kind of be narrowed down to what game that you played that just kind of made you rage the most, you know, throw the controller at your sister or something.
If we want to talk about rage games that have made me rage the most, I would have to say the Call of Duty series from Modern Warfare, and then to Modern Warfare 2 and 3. That would have to be all-time rage game, most definitely Modern Warfare 2 and 3. Those games make me want to punch small infants in a non-lethal way, of course, because I don't want to kill babies. But
now the question is, why, though?
Oh, why? Oh, my God. What can I go on about? They are unbalanced, first off. That is first and foremost. Those games have to be the most unbalanced games I've ever played in my life.
I'll agree to that.
You know, I'm a big fan of COD 4. COD 4 was my game when that came out.
I think everybody is.
I loved COD 4.
Yeah.
And then Modern Warfare 2 came out, and it was kind of like a slap to the face, you know?
Yeah.
It was a total step backwards. It was like 30 step backwards. Like, they walked backwards, fell off a cliff, rolled into the Grand Canyon, then continued going backwards because they didn't know what the hell they were doing.
I'm liking you every more and more, sir.
And then, you know, I mean, but I dealt with it. I dealt with it because I first played. Then I got Modern Warfare 3, and I just said, what the hell am I playing? It was horrible. It was absolutely... I don't know. Whoever was designing the maps was obviously on some type of drug. I don't know what it was. It was definitely like Activision was pumping something into their veins.
See, Alex, this is precisely why I wanted to have you on, because I knew that you and me would be friends for life, because that's exactly how I feel. COD 4 was great. Modern Warfare 2 was interesting and different. Black Ops wasn't as bad.
Black Ops was definitely a step forward from Modern Warfare 2,
yes.
But still not enough to go back to COD 4.
No.
I would definitely have to put Black Ops as one of the better ones, definitely.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. And then they're like, hey, we're going to release Modern Warfare 3 with
I don't even know what
skins
they were doing
from COD 4, wink, but it's a new engine.
I don't know what they were thinking. You know, I'm so happy I paid $10 for it.
Wow, you only paid
$10 for it on release day. On release day, I paid $10 for it. And I think I put 30 hours into multiplayer, and I would say about 15 of those hours have to be me throwing my mouse across the room out of rage.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when I do good, you know. I'll tell you what, when everybody started playing Modern Warfare 3, up until you got to about level 20, in my opinion, it was pretty well balanced. The guns were not too bad. Then you hit 20, then you get the Type 95, you get the FMG9 dual wielding, you get all this shit that I don't even know why. I don't have words.
Well,
I don't even understand.
You know, like, half the guns you dual wield don't even make sense. You can't fire two machine gun pistols that accurately. Your hands would be up in the air while you're holding down the damn trigger.
Don't even get me started on the reels. In fact, I'm a huge fan of like Project Reality and playing Armor 1, Armor 2. So when it comes to the realism thing, I don't even try and discuss it when it comes to COD because I can't wrap my brain around it.
So are you a Battlefield 3 fan at all?
I am a Battlefield 3 fan. Yes,
okay,
I am.
Cool.
I am definitely a Battlefield fan.
Awesome. We have a couple more questions here for you. Kat, why don't you go ahead and take the rest of them since the males have been the most vocal.
Yeah, I'm actually really curious to know, as well as I know some of our listeners who stream as well, how can anybody from scratch go about starting streaming?
Well, from scratch, definitely the first thing you're going to want to pick up is a program called XSplit. That would be the first thing you do. Make sure you get the program. And second off, as much as it sucks, you got to make sure your hardware's up to snuff, because if it's not, it's going to suck. Trust me on that one. You know, and then once you get the hardware, you get the software, it comes down to making a fan base. You know, you got to really get into it. And like I said earlier, I really, really want to, even if I'm repeating myself, I have to force this down people's throats sometimes. Absolutely do nothing but be yourself. Because trust me, the moment you try and make jokes, it's going to be that awkward cricket, but if you're not being yourself, you know what I mean? I've been in streams where it sounds forced, and these people wonder why they have, you know, like five fans, and it's like because you're not being you, you're forcing all of this out. And another thing is, make sure you play what you want to play. Another thing I have to stress: do not play what's popular at the day because you want to get viewers. Because if it's not something you like, nobody will want to watch you. Nobody will want to watch you if you're like forcing yourself to play StarCraft. You know, you don't know what the hell you're doing. That's funny if you don't know what you're doing. You know, and if you suck at a game, make fun of yourself. Some people get very, very uptight. They get mad, you know. I've seen people rage quit streaming because they just couldn't do it. Be relaxed. Make fun of yourself. Have fun with it. Talk to your viewers. Get to know everybody. And just do what you want to do. You know, once you have the hardware and the software down, it's really just about being you. Have fun. And make your own family. Make your own little community. And once you get people, it just builds from there. Really, it really just snowballs. I got lucky. I'll admit that. But that doesn't mean other people can't do just as well as I can, if not better than me. There's no reason. People just need to be yourselves and have fun with it. Never go in it from a business standpoint. Never
right.
Go in it saying, I want to make money. I want to make money, because that will screw everything up for you. You'll be so wrapped around this concept of getting famous and making money that you will not have any fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just what I have to stress on.
Yeah, that's true in a lot of different situations as well. If you're in it for the money, you're just going to end up, you know,
exactly,
finding yourself with a heartbreak because it's just not going to work out that way. And, mm-hmm. I mean, those are really good tips for streaming. So my son is he's 10 right now, and he is actually, because I'm such a hardcore gamer and my husband's a hardcore gamer, we've gotten our kids into gaming, of course, too.
Right.
And my son, he's 10, and he's been gaming since he's like 4, you know, and it's,
right.
We actually pay to get him into the Call of Duty tournaments, and he ends up ranking number 2.
That's awesome.
He's just so
That's
good.
Really
he's
awesome.
Done it here. Yeah, and actually we're here at the military base, so he gets onto the in the military against the military guys, and he ranks, you know, second and third place. And in fact, the last one, you just should have seen him. I was filming this, and this guy says, "Dude, you better watch out. That little kid's gonna fuck F you up." Okay, I'm on air here. So, and my son turns around and just knifes the hell out of this guy. And he's like, "Oh my God, a 10-year-old killed you, blah, blah, blah." I'm just like rolling. So we're really pushing our son we're not pushing him. He wants to do this, but he's got straight A's, so he wants to be a game developer. And he watches these videos, and he, you know, he'll watch videos that, you know, the streamings that you do and everything like that. And he's like, "Mom, I want to do that." And I'm just like, "If you want to do this, you need to, you know, really be just be yourself, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
Big thing. So I'm really looking forward to showing him a lot more of what you have going on here too.
That'll be pretty awesome. Hey, if you ever let me know, I'll definitely give him a shout out. You know, definitely give him some
that's
throw
cool.
some fans, a couple hundred people over there. You know. And that's another
yeah.
thing I want to stress on, like, another thing is, like, younger people getting into it. Like, there's no problem with younger people getting into it, but I noticed that the whole faking thing comes from younger people a lot more than it does from some of the older guys, is because, you know, they're worried about, like, they overthink these things. They're worried about, you know, their voice, or they see their big YouTube guys and how they talk and how they act, and they really try to imitate them. But you can't do that. You got to get your own style. And it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or if you're 70 years old. You just got to do your own thing and be yourself, and people will like it. Especially
right.
if he's that good at COD. I would follow him. I'll be his first follower.
Yeah, he's really, I'm just looking forward to, you know, as a parent, I'm like really proud of, to have,
yeah.
you know, a son that's into that. Because, you know, gaming these days, in the United States, sports is like this big thing. If you're into sports and everything and you go
exactly.
to college, get a scholarship for sports, it's like, oh my God, my son is just God. But nowadays it's gaming. It's if you're
mm-hmm.
really good at games and you really get into the tournaments and you go to college to become a developer or to become a graphic artist or anything in the technology age, that's a big thing now. I
that
mean,
is a huge thing.
That really is a big step.
That I definitely have to say that's pretty awesome. I would be proud. I'm proud of him. I don't even know him. That's pretty cool. It's nice to see, like, these younger kids growing up and kind of carrying on, you know. It's not going anywhere. It's actually going to come back even more, which I think is pretty
right.
awesome.
Exactly. And, you know, it's streamers like yourself and then, you know, podcasters like Baz and I who, as these kids, as they get older, they're actually, and they're getting into it. That's just the way that they're raised. They're raised in the technology
mm-hmm.
age. So they're going to be more, you know, susceptible to watching these things and listening to these things than we were back when we were younger. So it's streamers like you and Baz and I who are going to give them more of a positive role model instead of swearing all the time and getting pissed and raging and then, you know, and all this. You just, you know, we're more of the, hey, be yourself. Just, you know, game
so,
here
and
do what you want.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you say that because I actually talked to some of my fans about that who are, you know, they have kids of their own. And they sit down. I was talking to he's a really awesome guy. He watches my streams, and him and his kid watch them at dinner. They get their little laptop, and they turn on my streams while they eat dinner. And they watch them, and they can, you know, I think it's awesome to know that, you know, he's telling me about, you know, they'll laugh about jokes I made or things that happen, you know, like when I do parkour or something, I keep falling and falling. And his kid, you know, he's like 10, and he'll still laugh about it. You know, days later. And I think it's so cool to know that we, like, people like you and me can have an influence on that, people's families and in these kids. And it's just an awesome feeling to know that we can have such an influence, a positive influence on them. And we can totally change people's lives, you know, and they get into the skill gaming because of us. And they start off, and it's just a lot of fun to know that
exactly.
we can influence people like that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I applaud you for your work. It's awesome. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
when you get to that point where you actually know that you're doing something that actually, you know, people will sit down to during dinner time, I think that you have a good thing going for you. So
yeah, definitely.
I mean, there's not many Twitch.tv streamers that say, yeah, my stream is watched by families while they eat dinner.
Yeah, I was actually asking, you know, I was like, does your wife watch? And he was telling me, but his wife works later and he does, but when she gets home, she tunes in for the, you know, the last hour or two of my show, and the whole family basically watches it. And I always tell people, I feel like Batman, because nobody in my real life knows I do this. It's not because I hide it, it's just because it's not something they're usually into.
Right, right.
And lately, more and more of my friends have been finding out, and I was hanging out with a buddy just a couple weeks ago, and I remember I walked over there, and he's been watching my streams. And I'm listening to them talk, and they're using jokes that I use in their daily conversations amongst each other. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like a celebrity here. And, you know, and now I've grown to be this, like, local celebrity, basically. Word gets out, and all these people that play video games, you know, they watch my streams, and they hop in, and now it's just kind of growing to where everybody locally knows me, and they use my jokes, and they buy my T-shirts, and they wear my T-shirts, and it's just – it's growing so fast, I can't wrap my head around it sometimes. It's
That's
been two
awesome.
Months, and it's growing so big. It's amazing. I absolutely love it. And I hope nothing ever changes. I always tell people nothing's ever going to change. If it changes, I will turn off a broadcast and never do it again if I ever change or do it for the money or something like that.
Mm-hmm. See, now, you actually kind of brought up an interesting point there. You said you'll never do it for the money. But, you know, if Twitch does offer you partnership or if you, you know, find out that, you know, hey, I can actually make a pretty good living off of this, of doing this. I mean, it's something that I would definitely encourage you
I would love to. I get a lot of people that tell me they want to be a partner, and I will do it for the money. Like, I'll take the money, and I mean, I'll do it if I can make a living off of it, but I don't want that to
be the sole reason for doing it. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. I never want that to not even have a 1% influence on how I do things. I don't want to change my hours. I don't want to change, you know, how I talk or if I, you know, turn into like a salesman robot. I don't want that to ever have an influence on it. If I got paid to do it, if Twitch paid me because of how many views I got, I think that would be amazing. And all my fans would definitely want to push for that. I had an admin. I think it's funny. Last night, I had a bit of an issue with my stream. Another streamer, it was like Stream Beef. He was hating on me, and you know, it got really blown up before. So it was really stupid. And I actually had a Twitch TV admin come on my channel. Basically, the closing up, tell me I was totally fine. It was the other guy who was in the wrong, you know?
Oh, wow.
And the admin watched my stream.
That's pretty cool.
He loved my stream that he just sat there until I ended and watched with me.
That's
and,
pretty cool.
The entire chat was just built, dude, partner this guy, partner him. Like 300 people, like, please partner him. He's so cool. And I think I have such a fan base that it's so fun. It's literally, I can't express how fun it is. Like, I'm smiling now thinking about it.
Well,
it's,
I mean,
so much,
yeah,
fun
the. You know, streaming and just you know, a part of what we do here at Codebox is it's all about really who you're interacting with and just kind of your community. It's not about, well, you know, eventually we can make lots of money and we can be the next IGN or whatever. You know, it's really about making sure that, like you said, just kind of being yourself and making sure that you're entertaining while doing that. You know,
exactly.
No one wants to listen to, no offense to the younger generation here, but no one wants to listen to a 13-year-old kid, you know, play Call of Duty and stream and then cuss at swear words that he doesn't know how to use correctly.
Right, all the time. Just
so, you know, it's one of those things where I think that you really kind of have a really neat kind of opportunity here to kind of show people, even though it is Minecraft, and you know, there are a lot of Minecraft haters out there, and for whatever reason, because I don't know, they don't consider it a real game or whatever. I'm not sure what their problem is. But, you know, honestly, they're probably the people that still buy Lego sets but hate on Minecraft. And it's
exactly.
Like, well, you're doing the same thing, but it's just different.
It's virtual. And
yeah. So, you know, I think that your opportunity here to kind of role model to even the kids out there that watch your stream is something that you are definitely taking advantage of, which is good because there's not a lot of responsible people out there anymore, unfortunately. So I really kind of want to give you an e-pat on the back here.
E-pat,
and,
all right.
You know, the last kind of couple questions here. Do you have any other ones that we didn't think of before getting Alex here on the show? Anything that kind of popped in your mind?
I actually did want have a small question is my kids, as they start to get into Minecraft as well, and I know I'm starting to get into it because I'm focusing on my Mass Effect 3, and nobody can bother me in my box when I'm playing my Mass Effect 3. But
I'm never going to see you again, am I? I'm just never going to see you.
That's it. That's it. I'm getting my Cerberus outfit for Halloween, and then I'm just going to go sell myself out on the street there with my Cerberus gun. Okay, there you go. We'll make some money. There you go. But as far as Minecraft goes, what do you really enjoy about? What's the biggest thing that drew you into Minecraft? What do you enjoy about that?
I love Legos. I'm going to get that out there. I have, like, two of those giant gallon tubs full of Legos. So we're talking thousands of dollars of Legos. And I always feel like – I hate saying this because I feel like such a hipster. I started playing Minecraft before it was cool, before it was anything. And I remember I stumbled upon it, and I was like, what is this game? And I played it, and I, like – it was, you know, back before there were mobs, anything like that. You had, like, three blocks. And I remember I dug down, found a natural like hole system. I don't know if it was natural or if it was just a pre-made map. I don't know. I don't remember. And I dug down, and I was like, this is stupid. Never play it again. And then I got into it like 6 months later when it started to mature. I got into it, and let's just say I acquired it through means of not paying for it. And I tried it out. And this was before, like, even the biomes were in there. So you either start in snow or you didn't start in snow.
Oh, wow.
And I remember I played it, and what really caught me was the fact that the world I am a huge fan of, and I find myself, even after playing Minecraft so much where people would think I would be sick of it, I still find myself walking over a hill as the world generates, and you look down, and you walk over this giant mountain, and you look down the mountain, and there's like a lake that goes through like seven mountains, and there's giant caves, and I love the exploration. I love the generation. I love the fact that you might be walking along, and there might be on the surface in a snow world a lava lake. I don't know why, but it's awesome. I love that about it. And then to think, whoa, I can hollow out that entire mountain and turn it into my own personal bat cave. That is what I love about it. I love that there's the exploration and the freedom. Absolutely love it. If there were more games like that, I would be. That's why I love Star Wars Galaxy so much, because of freedom, the ability to place houses, the ability to go everywhere. And I ever tell you this bad, you know, I was reading about that other MMO code with the Dominus. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Dominus.
I totally was reading about the bounty hunting, and I totally nerded out. And I was just reading about it. I signed up for the beta. I wrote them like a big paragraph of why I should be in the beta. I'm like, please, please, please. I heard about it on Gamebox Media. I want to play. And, you know, games like that allow us freedom of choice. And that's why I love multiplayer in Minecraft, because it's all that, and then there's people in there. And I run a server, and it's so amazing. I tell you, you don't really understand until, like, I guess you run a server, you play one, to start a server with nothing, just a blank slate. Get people in there, you go offline for a couple days, you come back, and there's entire towns built. There's skyscrapers, there's these little villages. It's so amazing to see what people come up with. It's so amazing to see the freedom, and that is what I love about Minecraft. That's what drew me in, and that's what has held me in for so long.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Probably will forever.
That's cool. Here is the two hard questions of the day. What ideas would you like to see come to Minecraft? Like, you know, if you could add anything, what would you like to see to be added to the game? And out of all the aspects of Minecraft, what is something that you just absolutely cannot stand? And what is your favorite?
All right. I can actually answer these questions. I've been asked this a few times, and I've never got a chance to, you know, babble on for 10 minutes though. But basically, what thing I absolutely hate about it, I want to touch on this first, because I feel this is something that is so needs to be fixed. And it's wood. You get wood, all right? You get wood, you get your wooden tools, you start the game.
Right.
Then you get your stone. You get your stone tools, then you get your iron, then you go for diamonds. And that's it. Once you get your diamonds, that it's like it's this layer system that just is so tedious. And there's these mods that add all kinds of things. They add rubies and sapphire and all this, like, 30 new minerals. And it's just, it gets really tedious. Just, you get, you know, I start off a new hardcore world, get the wood. I find iron within, like, 5 minutes. Then I dig down. You know, I'm really lucky with finding diamonds. I think you may have noticed this from watching. I find diamonds like I find coal. I dig for 5 minutes, I find diamonds. Then I go up, get my diamond tools. They last for, you know, hours. I make my house. I go to another. I get my stuff done. And then I'm pretty much done with it. They really need more ores. Like, they absolutely need more ores, or more something to find. This is going to also go in with what I think needs to be incorporated. I'm just going to kind of roll into that question. Something that I really think needs to be incorporated in Minecraft is these all kind of go into one, is new biomes. They have the biomes they have are amazing. Don't get me wrong. The jungle was definitely a step forward, but there's mods out there. And I don't want to call out Mojang. I love what they've done. I understand they're indie, but it almost feels to me that they've kind of taken a rest, and they're focusing on bug fixes, which is great. But it almost feels to me like since it's not handed over development to Jeb, they've kind of taken a rest and kind of pulled a Bethesda route, where they kind of let the mods add all this content while they work on, you know, fixing little things here or adding things that. For instance, the most recent update, 1.2.4, it now makes it so you get, when you cut down different types of trees, because there's birch trees, regular trees, jungle trees, the wood you get from it is now a different color. I don't see how that adds anything to the game. I would much prefer new blocks or that work that they spent retexturing that to go towards maybe a new biome or something.
Mm-hmm.
We need new place to explore, And one thing that horribly needs to be updated, in my opinion, is dungeons in Minecraft. They're very, very boring.
Yes, they are. That's
another thing why when I touched on the whole mod thing is because there's a mod out there also that adds these huge, intricate dungeons. Like, I mean, they're like Skyrim-style dungeons, basically. And they're awesome. They're so fun to explore. And I love that there will always be a mod community. That's some of my favorite things about Skyrim and Fallout and those games like that. But I feel that Mojang, they could add these themselves. They're just kind of maybe working on bug fixes, or I don't really know what's going on. You know, I'm not gonna like call them out on it, but I definitely would love to see more biomes and just some more stuff for us to explore, and of course more ores. The whole three tier system gets really, really old really quickly. And what I absolutely love about Minecraft, I guess my absolute favorite feature will always be the world generating system. If I could have that in every game I ever made, I would use it. Even despite the graphics, I would use that. More games really need to take into consideration something like that. You know, and before you would mention an idea like that, and people would be like, "Oh, it's impossible." Well, these guys made this in Java. Come on now, you know, we can make something like this. They made it in Java, which is a horribly buggy program. We can make games like this. It's more of finding a team who wants to and code it. And I would absolutely love to see more games, not necessarily in such an extreme, but just take that whole chunk generating, even if it wasn't indefinite. Just that would be an awesome approach to games. Like, I believe, I don't remember what it was. It was one of the original Elder Scrolls games had something like that, where there were towns everywhere. It just went on and on. It was regenerating. They were generating towns. It was one of the original Elder Scrolls had that same type of chunk generating feature. And I know it would be really hard to do, but I think one day in the future I would love to see that re-implemented with today's graphics and today's technology. I love that, and I want to see it utilized further. That's my favorite thing.
Awesome.
By far.
Awesome, man.
Great.
Well, Kat, anything else on your mind there?
No, actually, I'm just really glad to have had you on the show, Alex, because you've really given us some great insights, and some of the listeners some insights as well. I want to make sure that we stress the website is www.twitch.tv/ghost0523. Alex is wonderful. He does a great job, and I think it would be well worthwhile for gamers to take a look at it.
Yeah, Alex, why don't you give the itinerary of when you normally stream, and just anything else you'd like to plug, Twitter, Facebook, etc.
I stream every weekday, which is another reason I think a lot of people like me. I stream every weekday as long as my life permits it. I start at 7 or 8, depending on how my schedule goes, p.m. Central Standard Time, and I usually go to about 11 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay.
And you can also find us on Facebook, you know, Facebook / Ghost Gaming. I'm on Twitter. It's Ghost _ Gaming. You can find me on Twitter. And if you really want to find me on YouTube, it's Ghost Gaming YT. You can find me there. And I would like to say, I know there's some of my fans listening. I kind of, you know, hawked it to them. Go listen now. I threatened to kill somebody's puppy if he didn't listen, but we're not going to talk about that. I would like to give a huge shout out, of course, to all my fans and to you guys for having me. I would love to be back.
No problem,
man. I would love to be back one day to babble games with you guys, most definitely. And it's been a lot of fun. And so, you know, big shout out to all my fans and just everybody in here. I hope that people have enjoyed listening to me ramble for about an hour.
Awesome.
It's been a ton of fun.
You know, I think it'd be awesome for all three of us to kind of get into a game sometime, and whether you're streaming or not, and just kind of see what kind of acts we can kick together.
I would absolutely love to. I mean, Baz, you can contact me. Either of you can contact me all the time. I know, Baz, you watch me sometimes, so you can always get a hold of me if you ever want to. I am totally down.
Definitely.
I had a great experience with this.
Well, the only thing that we'll have to make sure is Kat has not had any liquor. Because that would not go over well.
All right. Well, let's make sure she just limits herself a little.
Okay. Well, Alex, man, thank you very, 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 very much for taking some time on your busy schedule to come on the show and just kind of say, hey, guys, this is what I do. This is what I'm passionate about. And definitely check out a stream, everybody. Once again, that is twitch.tv/ghost0523. He streams every weekday starting at about 7 to 8.
And I'm actually going to be streaming after I get off here, so hey.
Oh, well, there you go, guys. If you guys want to continue to listen to the show, go ahead. If you guys want to check out his stream, feel free to do that as well. I would highly recommend it. And if you guys have any questions, that you maybe want to him to answer, go on a stream and chat it up, and I'm sure he will take his time to say, well, you're wrong, this is why, or here is some information I can do help you. But
we'll
Alex, again, thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you later.
All right, see you, dude. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Alex. Awesome. All righty. So that was Alex of Ghost Gaming. Wonderful guy. He's one of those guys that just kind of is really, really down to earth, and you can just tell that he does it because it's just fun, and it's not something
right.
that's, well, I see everyone else doing it, so I want to do it.
Right.
And it's one of those things that kind of annoy me when these people like stream and they're just like, oh, I'm just gonna play music and play, and so you're just like, oh, that's boring. But
no, he sounds like an awesome guy, type of guy that I'd actually hang out with, you know, because there are so many people that you meet on while you're gaming, and you get on vent or whatever, and you find that they're okay. They seem pretty cool in game, and as soon as they get on vent, you're like, oh my god, really?
Yeah.
But he seems really down to earth and really natural. I like his demeanor.
Yeah, definitely. Most definitely. So we're going to kind of get right into the open discussion, guys. Again, if you guys want to call in and yada, 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 or email us at boxheads@coboxmedia.com, and please call us at 347-838-9713. Shriggs, are you there, sir? I know you had some interesting stories on your adventures to the wedding something or other. So,
yes, I do, man.
Good.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes. You seem like you're getting snuffed by a blanket, but that's okay.
No. Yeah,
anyway.
You're married, right?
I am married.
I can hear you, hon.
Yeah. So, first of all, I want to ask, what terrible things happened at your wedding? What went wrong?
What went wrong at my wedding? My mother-in-law was there? I don't know.
I hope your wife smacks you.
No, I'm joking. Jeez. Honey, did anything go wrong in our wedding?
She's like, yeah, I married you.
According to my wife, the face her mother made on the video, did she not look happy or what? Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay, I remember that now. So I had a buddy of mine videotape our wedding for us since, you know, a videographer for a wedding is thousands of dollars and just completely overpriced. And I'm like, no, I'm not paying that. So a buddy of mine has a DJ company, and I think we paid like $200 for DJing and a video for the wedding, which is great. It was like the steal of the century. So, you guys can still hear me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Shut up, Kat. Shut up. So my Skype started blinking at me, so I was like, oh crap, please not technical difficulties. But no, we're good. Anyway, so I was editing the video, kind of shortening down the ceremony because my dad is long-winded, apparently, and we found that out. His nuptials went, how long did it go, sweetie? Like 45 minutes to an hour? It was...
I like your explanation right now.
Shut up, Kat. Okay, just ask me a question. I'm going to tell my story. Anyway, so at one point in the video, her mom just makes the face of, I don't want to be here. I wish this wasn't happening. It was not a good face. So I'm like, well, we're going to edit that out. So long story short, that's the face.
Maybe she was constipated.
She might have been.
The food gave her gas.
She might have been. But Kat, what about you? Did anything go wrong at your wedding?
Well, it was not really wrong. I wouldn't say, because I don't think any wedding things go the way that people expect them to.
Right.
So
right.
I think anything that is out of what you expect it to go as far as weddings is wrong to the eyes of a bride and a groom. You know what
okay.
I mean? Like, so it, I don't think it was necessarily wrong, but we did too. We had a videographer, and we got married at 18.
Yeah.
So we had just graduated from high school, and my husband went to basic training, and we ended up getting married right after he got back. So 18 was pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the videographer there, and my bridesmaids were my husband's sisters. And one of his sister looked at the looked into the camera and said, "They're not going to last." And it was
wow.
It was like one of those moments, like, I love your sister, but I swear I don't care if I have to die in this marriage. I'm going to prove her wrong.
Wow. So,
but yeah, so it, yeah, that was
a cat fight erupt. Do you have video footage?
No, not, you know, because I was not, I was just, you know, I was one of those, it's my wedding, I'm not going to let this bother me. But of course, I ended up getting drunk too. So, you know, that kind of helped it. Yeah, that kind of helped it out a little bit. But yeah, so that wasn't too good. But
that's awesome.
Like I said, everything that's beyond what you normally want as a marriage is, or as at a wedding,
mm-hmm.
is always going to be something wrong. So
that's fair.
What about you, Triggs? Something happened to you today?
Yes. Well, it's actually a week-long thing.
Oh, geez.
So let me start. It began last week when people started arriving to my uncle's house to prepare for the wedding. My uncle, Uncle Paul, would always say, "We gotta get to the airport 2 hours before they arrive to combat the intangibles," which is what he calls the things that go wrong during a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
"We gotta beat the intangibles. We're gonna have a non-intangible wedding." And everyone makes fun of him all week long. It's like, "Hey, Paul, what are those intangibles you're talking about?"
Right.
Because every time they got to pick up someone from the airport, they go in 2 hours early, and they're just sick of it. Then, on the day of the wedding, at my uncle's house, we're all dressed up, and we're waiting for the minister to arrive because we're going to caravan down to the place where the wedding is, an hour away, and there's a phone call. And my uncle goes into the house, and he comes back out with an incredibly grim look on his face. And he says, that was the minister. He locked his keys in the cars, and he's locked out of his house, and we have to go get him. And he says, "The intangibles have begun."
Oh, boy.
Yes. And it gets better. We go to get the minister. And he's not there. They found his keys, and they drove to our house where we just left. So we have to wait for him again.
Oh, geez.
And when he gets there, we make the hour-long drive to the place. It's like a special place for where they do weddings only for events.
Mm-hmm.
And the minister is following my other aunt and uncle, and they make a turn to a guest stop to, like, use the bathroom and stuff. And the minister follows them. So he breaks away from the caravan. We don't know where he is. We don't have his cell phone. So we can only hope that my other aunt and uncle can guide him safely to the church.
Oh, boy.
And he eventually does make it there. And in the middle of the ceremony, everything, like the worst of it, seems to be over. My cousin is saying her vows. And right next to her, one of the bridesmaids starts wobbling back and forth.
Oh, no.
And she collapses in the middle of the vows.
Oh, my God.
So apparently she hadn't eaten or drank anything all day long. Everyone goes up to the area, and my cousin whispers into the microphone, "Intangibles." That's it.
Wow. So someone fainted at your wedding. Wonderful.
Yeah,
wow. That's a
Did
real.
Did they finish?
Yeah. See, Kat being the only female on the show, she's the only one that actually cares about, well, did the wedding finish? Did they get, you know.
Yeah, it finished. They took over to a one of the chairs, and it went on with the vows and finished it all.
Oh, that's good.
Also, there's one more little thing I can point out. Like, when they were addressing everybody, they gave the groom, they accidentally gave him his grandmother's corsage.
Oh, wonderful. That's, wow. Alrighty, so see, sweetie, our wedding wasn't as crazy as Shrigs' cousin, so. That's,
So it must be intangibles.
Apparently not. I mean, wow. Okay. Interesting story, Shrigs. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Oy vey. Kat, anything to say to that?
No, actually, I'm just blown away. I just can't imagine fainting at the altar.
Wow. Yeah, that's, wow. You kind of think about it, and it's like a Hollywood movie type of scenario there where someone faints and everyone's like,
yeah, what the shit?
What, you know, knowing my family, somebody would have a smart-ass remark and stand up and be like, you know, see, she never wanted to marry him in the first place. You know?
No, it was one of the bridesmaids that fainted.
Yeah.
There you go.
But no, it would have been perfect if it was right at, if anyone has any objection to this marriage, speak now and forever hold your peace. And then she just dropped. That would have been perfect.
Yeah, see, we think that, but if you're a bride and someone faints during your wedding, that's probably something that is going to be in her mind. Well, I don't know, whatever. Oh, well. Anyway, moving on here. Let's get into some gaming news, because there's actually quite a bit that's kind of been happening over the past week. And shocker, it has to do with BioWare again.
And yay. Now it's time for the doom. Stop that.
All right, Kat, since you're the BioWare fanatic, the Mass Effect fanatic, what are your thoughts on BioWare's reaction to everything that's kind of been happening over the past week? For those who don't really know, I'm not sure why you wouldn't know if you're a gamer. It's been all over websites everywhere. But BioWare does plan to address the Mass Effect 3 ending complaints. Kat, is this something that you are for, or you wish the issue would just kind of go away?
I'm glad that I think them stepping up to the plate is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they're stepping up just to kind of clear their name and know that they were in the wrong, or whether they're just doing it to kind of get people off of their backs or whatever is beyond me. I'm not sure. I know that Amazon.com is actually refunding people money who have bought Mass Effect 3 from Amazon, and they're refunding the money whether you finish the game or not. So if you're unhappy and you have even if you have completed the game for a certain amount of time, Amazon.com is refunding money for the game. So
that's Amazon is awesome.
Yeah, but that goes to show that fans aren't happy, and BioWare is kind of stuck in a rut, because now they're going to have big companies like Amazon who are going to be very iffy about purchase or selling their games in the future.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, what kind of company is going to be like, okay, now I have to, these games are known to be failures to fans and so forth. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Amazon doesn't have to do this. But, you know, once you purchase the game, you purchase the game. That's pretty much how it works, you know.
Are they refunding PC copies as well, or is it just consoles?
You know what? I'm not sure. I think you'd have to go to Amazon and look to see which one it
is.
Because
if that's PC consoles, that'd be huge.
Right.
That'd be that'd be crazy.
Exactly. But so the whole point of it is that, you know, I'm glad that they're addressing this. I just think that I'm double reassuring myself about BioWare's titles in the future,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. And I think everybody is doing that, so I'm kind of just hoping that they'll come out with a downloadable content, allow people to download it for free. Obviously, we know how the economy works, and that's probably not going to be the case. But we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to get some, a little bit more information on this. So keep talking real quick while I surf the interwebs.
Well, actually, you know, dealing with talking about BioWare and dealing with the Mass Effect series, I just want to let our listeners know that I'm very pleased with the game up until the end, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
And the way that, and I've played the game not importing my character and starting from scratch, and I've played it importing my character from Mass mm-hmm. Effect 2. The storylines are different. There's some things that'll come up, and
well, of course.
It's just it's wonderful how they integrated it. So I mean, they did an excellent job on that.
Okay, and this is I'm not sure what this website is, so I'm not going to plug it. But this was on the Amazon forums. It was linked to this website. So according to also the BioWare forums, this also is in the BioWare forums. You can receive up to $87.95 for the N7 edition. It's not stating whether it has to be a console, so it does look like you can refund your PC version if you take it over on Amazon as well. So, you know, I mean, props to Amazon for kind of stepping up to the plate and going, you know, we want to make our customers happy. They feel that they were, you know, cheated, and we want to try and make them a little bit more happy. So kind of props to Amazon for kind of stepping up and saying, well, you know, we're going to lose money in the process too, but we'd rather our customers be happy than not. So that to me is great. You know, another thing I kind of wanted to kind of mull over with you is, do you think that BioWare is only addressing the ending because a petition raised money for them to do so?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's definitely the case. I don't think anything would have come out of it if they wouldn't have made any changes. I mean, that's typical with any company.
Which, you know, kind of honestly worries me because that means BioWare didn't really care. And, you know, the only reason they're, in my opinion, the only reason that they're going to come out with another DLC for this is because people have actually raised the money for it. They've raised, what, $30,000, or maybe it's more by now, for them to say, hey, release a DLC for a better ending. And, you know, again, I'm pretty sure BioWare's going to be like, okay, well, here you go. Pay us for it. I don't know. Do you think BioWare would really be that stupid, or, you know, just based on past events, you really can't put anything past them, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too harsh.
Well, I think when you've got a community base that is so big and so into this game, I mean, there has not been something like this done for any other game. I mean, this has been such a big petition. So the game actually has a follower, a following base. And I know, you know, you have games like Call of Duty and you have, you know, the Skyrim and you have, you know, mm-hmm. you have all kinds of different games that people just, you know, they like and everything. And they think it's really good and it comes out and then it passes over. Okay. They made so many billions of dollars and it's in the news and then it's out of the news. But when you have something like Mass Effect, where the storyline just engrossed so many people, where it wasn't just based on FPS or downloadable content or anything like that. It was based on the storyline because you've got a lot of fans who never even really heard of BioWare until you had games like Dragon Age or Mass Effect where it enthralled them with the storyline. Now you've got people who are into role playing, people who are into FPS, people who are into storylines, people who are into the lore of the game, and you've got huge fan base. It's not about gaming anymore. It's about the role playing as well in that aspect. And so now you're a company and you've got all these fans and they're making petitions. I mean, it's a big jump and the company's going to have to pick itself up and acknowledge this, or they're going to find themselves pretty much losing not only just a game fan base, but a humongous fan base overall.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I definitely agree with that statement 100%. I mean, I'm one of those people that just kind of don't care about BioWare anymore. As we've stated before, I've kind of already gotten screwed with Star Wars, and then the whole BioWare kind of thing blew up in everyone's face with Mass Effect 3, and I'm just kind of like, okay, well, I'm just going to really watch what I buy now. So, I think that BioWare really has hurt themselves. They really made a lot of poor decisions, and I think this is kind of where they're going to slowly kind of fall off the deep end, unfortunately, and just kind of go into the Activision side of things and just kind of be this huge conglomerate with a well-known name that makes mediocre games from now on, which is sad to see, but it'll be really hard for them to ever kind of recover from the lie that they kind of told and got caught with. And that's something that you do not do to the internet, because the internet will destroy you. And two, a very, very loyal fan base, such as the Mass Effect and the just let alone the BioWare fan base that they have built up over the years. And so we'll see. But I for one am just very, very leery about ever buying a game ever by BioWare again. So oh well. The next piece of news thing that I kind of want to go over a little bit is Diablo 3 getting just a little bit more press over the last couple weeks. They did, last week we talked about they did do the release date, which is sometime in May or something. I don't remember the exact date. How do you guys, as a whole, feel this is going to turn out? Because World of Warcraft is slowly and steadily losing a lot of their subscribers. Whether it be from Star Wars or whether people are just kind of sick of the content and, no one really cares about pandas, for goodness sake. Do you think that this new new quote-unquote cash cow that they're hoping it's going to be in with the real-life money auction house thing, do you think that that's going to be a viable sustainment for Blizzard, or do you think that they're going to kind of slowly die off the deep end and eventually just kind of wither away into a more of a, one or two games a year type of company?
Good question.
So,
do Red Pandas have any implication on whether or not this will be better? Because you can have the option to be one of those.
Well, yeah, but they're pandas.
A different kind of panda.
It's stupid. They're pandas, dude.
In my opinion, I think Diablo 3 will be a very competent, well-put-together RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it sinks or floats is how Blizzard manipulates the real money auction house. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, wow, I can't speak, apparently. I'm just not. It's been a long week for everybody, so I apologize for my stutteringness, which usually doesn't come out very often. But Striggs brings up a good point. It'll really kind of depend on Blizzard and if they will, in your words, manipulate the auction house the correct way. Kat, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm in regards to the Diablo 3 coming out.
Yes.
I think. I mean, that's something that I've been looking forward to, and I know a couple other fans have too. Obviously, the disappointment with StarCraft and not having LAN support, and then obviously them rolling that over to Diablo 3 is pretty much a big disappointment.
Yeah.
That to me, it really turns me off. I don't know. It depends on nowadays. Aside from Mass Effect 3, there's been very few games that have been able to fulfill my appetite on entertainment.
Mm.
And it's been lacking these days. And I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or if because the game developers just are not listening to their community or whatnot. But the games that I have been looking forward to have been pretty much disappointments from my perspective. So Diablo 3, I'd like to get it because it's something that that maybe I could use to pass the time. But as far as not having LAN, I'm kind of disappointed because that's something I was looking forward to doing with my husband.
Yeah, of course.
I know that I know that it's only going to be played online, but I don't know. I really don't know how they're actually going to fit that in. I cannot stand games that you have to constantly be online for.
Yeah.
I mean, that just annoys me, because when my internet's out or if I'm traveling and I can't have it and I want to play my game, I get very annoyed.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, even with BattleNet has their offline mode, but you know, all the achievements are disabled and all the things that, you know, as me personally, you know, enjoy doing, like if I'm playing StarCraft, most of the time it's trying to get achievements, because I like the shinies. I just do. I enjoy, you know, finding things that kind of go, okay, cool, you unlocked a new icon or something. And most of the time when I play StarCraft, I'm not online, because I don't find the multiplayer aspect really any fun, because everyone's either really, really good and a lot better than me, or the games are just way too easy and I don't feel that I was challenged. And, you know, with the LAN thing is something that I'm not sure why they decided against it. I mean, it from I guess a money standpoint, it makes sense. But, you know, Diablo was all about the LAN. It was more so than Warcraft or StarCraft. Diablo and the expansion for Diablo was all about getting all your buddies together from everywhere and just playing that game all night long and just seeing what you could unlock or do or whatever. And they're pretty much taking one of the key and core elements out of the game itself and just saying, well, because it's not in BattleNet 2.0, then we're just not going to bother to put it in. So it's, and yeah, it's just, it's something that, you know, you also pointed out that you're not sure if it's just because you're getting older or companies aren't listening to the community. I really think it's both, because I'm finding that as well. I'm finding that as I'm getting older myself, it's just like a lot of games are like, well, that was disappointing. I'm glad I didn't waste any money on that, or boy, I really kind of blew that one. So, you know, I think that as we get older and as our generation kind of falls behind, and it the quality of stuff in general just is not what it used to be. I mean, that's
right.
Everything. That's cars. That's Kleenexes. That's everything. The quality of things being made when we were used to growing up and even into our teens and early adulthood, it was a whole hell of a lot better. Things were just more thought out and just better prepared. Now it's just like we live in the generation of we just kind of want it now and we don't care. But then we complain when it sucks because it was given out too early or whatever.
Right.
So,
just to clarify to our listeners about Diablo 3 and the LAN issues, is you can't play over a LAN, which is a local area network, which means you cannot host your own local server in order for everybody else to get onto the LAN, and you literally have to be connected to a BattleNet server at all times. And that's
mm-hmm.
in a way, the positives is that it's good against hacking and cheating. Okay, so that's one of the reasons that they did that. But
that was
another
key element in Diablo is having fun with that. I mean, no one really cared, because there wasn't really any form of PvP in that game, so who cares? I mean, you can still hack on Diablo 1 and have fun with it. It's just, the game was all about having fun, and
right.
That's what it should be. But I feel that they're trying to like make it this big story, and just they're trying to make it they're trying to make it a serious game when it's really just a game about having fun and killing skeletons.
Right. And that was the thing about Diablo, was that it was just it was very fun. It was like getting everybody together in one room and ordering a pizza and playing D&D, you know, at the tabletop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the whole point of the thing. But, you know, so no, you can't LAN. You can get on the BattleNet server, and you can share your LAN, so to speak, with an internet connection. And then everybody on your LAN can then log into their BattleNet accounts, and you can play over the internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with that is that the game is – the maximum party in Diablo 3 is 4. So you're pretty much – if you're going to quote, LAN it up over the internet, the maximum amount is going to be 4 that you can actually play with in Diablo 3.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to clarify that for
no, no, yeah, they, yeah,
understand the difference between LAN and Battle.net.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's and again, going back to the generation thing, I think there's a lot of people who don't really understand that anymore. It's like, well, you know, the internet is such a huge thing here. And it's just you know, everyone's just expected to, oh, I can play a video game online and I can connect to everyone. And, you know, I think that there are some people who consider that LANing. And, no, it's going downstairs to someone's basement or someone's garage or someone's abandoned barn or something, setting up 2 or 3 ping pong tables, putting 6 routers in the middle of it, and having 16,000 miles of Ethernet cable all wrapped around the chairs and the ceiling and everywhere and plugged into everyone's computer, and then everyone's screaming at each other from around the table because they got the item or they got the kill or I just pwned your face. That
yeah,
is a
yes.
That is an old school LAN party.
Yeah,
that gives me chills just thinking about it, because those were the days where it was just such a social event. And I really miss that, because a lot of my – I'm not sure if you've experienced this, Cat or Shriggs, but a lot of my friends that used to be gamers aren't anymore. They're just like, whatever, I don't care. And it's something that I've really kind of lost, and it sucks to kind of lose that community aspect when everything's over the internet, which is not a bad thing, because, you know, it allows us to do this podcast, and it allows us to do something we normally would never have gotten to be able to do. But the social, the deep core social aspect of LANing, quote unquote, is no longer there. It's everything's all digital. So, I mean, if you really want to get technical, it's more of a digital LAN than it is a physical or real life LAN type of thing.
You know, Ben,
that's right.
I have a friend that made that transition from really awesome fun gamer to I don't play video games anymore. He still plays games, but he's not really serious about it.
Yeah.
And, like,
well, you
this
know,
guy, it's... he, every birthday, we'd all go over to his house, we'd bring a console or two and a TV, and we'd have, like, 32 controllers, and we'd poke up all the TVs and consoles together and play Halo and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that aspect is definitely not there anymore, and I'm not sure why companies are... You know, well, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I know why companies aren't really including a lot of the LAN support there anymore, because we have the internet, because it's inconvenient now to tear down your computer, put it in your car, and go to a buddy's house. I mean,
Go
ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish up.
And, you know, I get that. I mean, my computer itself weighs 45 effing pounds. It's a monster. I'm not exaggerating. I've weighed it. It weighs 45 pounds. The case is made out of steel. So, I mean, it's a pain in the ass for me to tear down all this stuff and go to a buddy's house and set it up for a night or two. But it's worth it, because it's just so much more fun laughing at each other while you're across the room or across the table or sitting on the couch beating some noobs over a game or something. So, I mean, please continue.
I was just going to say this also, being able to LAN also kind of – nowadays when you're dealing with internet, you're dealing with broadband requirements and limitations. And constantly – and I know for our family, because we have 5 people in our family and all 5 of us are gamers. And it just bogs down the internet when my husband and I are playing on the computer and my daughter is streaming movies and my 2 boys are playing the Xbox, and it's draining. And then we start yelling at each other because we're like, who's playing what? Who's downloading this?
Who's
and then
Netflix,
on top
damn it.
Yeah, exactly. And then on top of that, though, but while I'm playing, I'm also videotaping for Codebox. So now I'm videotaping and I'm trying to upload the videos to the internet, and that takes up so much bandwidth.
Oh, yeah.
And so now with LANs, you can just get in there. You don't have to worry about any, you know, internet type, you know, restrictions, and you're just kind of connected with everybody, and you're having fun, and you know, there's not that much latency, and there's not much lag, and so forth. And that's one of the things is if companies are doing this these days, where they're forcing you to be on the internet, conspiracy theory here, but do they have some kind of deal with internet broadband companies? I mean, really?
Well, not to sound crazy myself, but I think that.
Cat?
Hey, did we? We lost Bass here. I think he put his microphone on mute. Bass,
okay.
You need to mute yourself.
Okay, sorry about that. I hit Shift F to capitalize a word, and I forgot that Shift F was my mute button.
Damn it, I thought we lost you.
Oh, yeah, it sucks, doesn't it? But going back to what I was saying here, I'm actually going to have to kind of agree with you there on there, Kat, because there are countries that have internet that just does 100 megabyte up and download for like $20. I know a couple people in Denmark and Sweden who have like just balls internet where you're just like, oh my gosh, I must have. Rah! And, you know, here, to get that, it costs $200 to $300 a month to get decent up and download speed, which is ridiculous. So I'm actually going to agree with you on that, Kate. I really think that our government is kind of, well, not to get all political, but our government's kind of everywhere, unfortunately, these days. And, you know,
right.
they have their claws and paws and talons and kind of every little aspect of things we do. And, I think they do kind of control what kind of goes through the internet waves, so to speak. So it's frustrating because you see people that have this retarded internet. It's just like, how the hell do you have that? Like, there's just no way I could ever get that. I mean, we have AT&T, the worst company on the face of the earth, and we pay $20 a month for six up and not even six down and not even a meg up. And it's terrible because half the time you don't get what you pay for. You got to call and go, what the crap? And, you know, you got to whip the company to say, you know, you're cheating me out of what I'm paying for. And they're like, oh, we're sorry. We were having tech issues. Wink.
Well, yeah. And, well, you know what really gets me is as we're talking about this and government controlling, you know, your broadband and what you're viewing and so forth is it really irks me. To the point that my son is 10. I have a 10 and 11 year old, and they play, you know, Call of Duty and
right.
BioShock and all. They play all the games that we play. And
of course.
And I can understand where, you know, some people are coming from as far as don't let your kids play violent movies, blah blah blah. It ruins them. Whatever. My kids have straight A's. Okay, so you can just go, you know, whatever with yourself. But the fact of the matter is, if I go and I set my son up on an Xbox and an Xbox account, they cannot, depending on their age, of course, they cannot play certain games. Like, it will not allow them to be on Xbox Live.
Right, of course.
If they're a certain age. Well, if I'm the parent, I should have that opportunity to say, you know what, I'm allowing my son to play this. You, as the government, have no right to tell me I cannot let my son play this.
I definitely agree.
And that's what bothers me as far as, and I just kind of wanted to get that off my chest when you're talking about government and trying to regulate bandwidth and so forth. It just bothers me. I don't, and as for our listeners too, if you agree and you don't agree, please feel free to call in. I will argue my mic off with you, with being a parent of a game, you know, gaming kids as it is. But
she will too. She'll win.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is that. The fact of the matter is that I feel that these games these days that are making you get on the internet and making you use your bandwidth is not right. I mean, you should have an option. You want to land it up or do you want to use your internet? I mean, I'm paying for the damn internet. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I would definitely agree with that because you know companies are starting to put a cap on the bandwidth we're supposed to be allowed to use, even though we're paying for unlimited internet. Like AT&T gave me a letter, and they're like, hey, yeah, you went over your 150-gigabyte limit this month. And I'm thinking, what? I have unlimited bandwidth. Well, what are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, there's a cap on the internet now. We forgot to tell you. We just implemented that a couple months ago without really telling anybody. So
that cap was always there. They just never expected people like us to break it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I actually want to give a shout out to a company here in Ohio, Buckeye Cable, and Roadrunner. They don't have any caps, and we will be switching to them after our stupid contract that AT&T actually forced on us that we weren't supposed to be in, we can't get out of, ends up in June. So as you can tell, AT&T can go suck my ass. They are a terrible.
I don't think I
want to
be
AT&T. Yeah, no, you don't. It's just real hairy and just kind of, anyway. Too much information about my ass.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, anyway.
Why?
Why not? Why not? It's a variety show, right? We actually have a caller. And Shriggs, without actually going into the screening room, I'm actually just going to take him live and we'll see how this goes, so. Hello, caller. Thank you for calling Code Box Media. We appreciate it. What are your thoughts on our discussions? And he hung up. Chicken. You chicken.
Again.
You chicken.
Probably.
Oh, really? You think so?
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. Well, apparently we have a caller that calls in every week to try and troll us, and he never gets through. And he got through, and it was his chance. And he was like,
and
oh,
he was
crap.
Sitting there going, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
what did I say?
Yeah, exactly. But, oh, well. Guys, we have a couple more topics to get to, so please call us at 347-838-9713. It'd be awesome to talk with you guys about anything, including government conspiracies, apparently. We're going to talk about that, so yeah. Yeah, it's a great show, isn't it? It's
basically was a government conspiracy.
Everyone knows that. Everyone knows it. You know, it's really kind of been an interesting week for all three of us. You know, Shriggs, you were really kind of busy out of town. I was I'm in the process of trying to get together a weekly Dota tournament, which is going off pretty fairly well. Last week was our first one that we did, and we had some issues, but that happens when you're trying to start something. It's going pretty well. That's every Monday. I will link details in the show notes after the show ends if anyone wants to actually join on. It is for teams only. It's not a single player draft. We're slowly working on that, but yeah. So I've been busy with that, and Kat, I know you've been busy with just all your moving crap and stuff. So it's. Unfortunately, you know, as you guys can tell, we really didn't really prepare anything for the show. We're just kind of talking. So, Kat, what other news articles you have? You did mention that you actually had a couple things, if I remember correctly.
I did, actually, that were kind of eye-catching to me. I have about three news items, and the first one that I want to get to is that I don't know if you've ever tried it or if Shriggs has ever tried it, but Vanguard from Sony Online Entertainment is going to free-to-play. Now, I know this is not a shocker for many people, but Sony Online Entertainment is converting yet another subscription-based virtual world into free-to-play MMORPG. Vanguard's Saga of Heroes, Andy Seitz, CEO's Director of Development, made the announcement on Friday after he announced the fan base with a thank you for their support over the last 5 years. The PC game originally launched back in 2007 with mostly negative reviews, initially selling around 242,000 copies.
That's it.
But over the next...
Wow.
But over the next 3 years, the team kind of fought to stamp out performance issues and so forth. And basically, it really didn't help much. And now they're going free to play. So, Vanguard.
I'll be honest. I remember hearing about this, and I just thought it died. I didn't think people actually stuck around to play it. So,
yes.
Were they thinking like the 30
like
people that were still sub to the game? Oh, okay, see, this is what I've always wondered. What makes a game sustainable? I mean, like, is there like a cap to, okay, well, if we have under 30,000 subscribers, we can't keep the game running because we'll be wasting money. Now, Sony has yet to release an MMO that is good. None of their MMOs stay, you know, subscription-based because, well, let's be honest, they don't make anything good. City of Heroes was okay, but it was retardedly repetitive. What are the ones that they did? I can't even think of it. Oh, Star Trek Online, that was a complete and utter failure that was, I'm not even sure why it was even released. Did you guys ever play that game? It was so bad.
No.
Oh, my God.
I had to wait that one.
Well, see, I had the pleasure of playing the beta, and I'm so glad I did, because I was actually thinking about, Star Trek. I love Star Trek. I'm a Trekkie, and I played the beta and was like, holy crap, this is terrible. It was just, it was like, you know, like, okay, what do you guys think a Star Trek game MMO should be like? Describe it for me, Shrakes.
Awesome space combat, explosions everywhere, Borg, shit hits the fan.
Okay, Shrakes obviously doesn't really watch Star Trek that much. Kat?
Oh, lots of people wearing red that I can shoot.
There you go. See, yeah. Shrigs was a little bit closer. Kat, I'm not sure if you've seen Star Trek. I think you might be watching a different show.
he is right about red shirts. They always die.
Well, you know, no, it's very true. The red shirts always get sucked out into space or something. Those poor red shirts. And anyway,
wait a minute, are they all Asian?
No, they're, now that you mention it, yeah, I think so. But no, if you guys have ever tried EVE Online, it was pretty much that reskin to Star Trek. Like, they tried to have, like, a ground combat system where you would explore the planet, and that was, wow, I was like, why is this in here? It looked like it was programmed in Flash. It was so bad. Like, half the abilities would have, like, a four-second delay, and then all of a sudden you would lose half your health, and you had no idea why. It was just terrible. It's bad. I'm sure that's been fixed, but, you know, when I first played the beta, I was like, okay, so the game's going to be like, you know, you're on the bridge, and you get to talk to people through the intercom. You know, it's an MMO. I was expecting to have, like, you're flying your ship, and all of a sudden you encounter another ship, and, you know, you could use a webcam to be, like, on screen, and you could talk to people. That sounds cool. That's an MMO.
That would be
that's something a Star Trek MMO should do. No. What happens is you come up, and you're I was like, what the hell? Is this like naval battles in space? They're like slowly turning, and they're shooting their cannons, and your shields are going. Oh, it was just the boringest thing I've ever seen. It was just bad. But anyway.
So, if you look back to the show, that's how space battles went. They would be drifting along, shooting their photon torpedoes at each other, and turning blissfully to the left.
That's a quote from Family Guy. That's funny.
Yes, but it applies to Star Trek as well.
Well, but the battles were a lot. The ships actually moved a lot more quicker than they did in the game. Yeah, you know, some of the battles were just a standoff, but a lot of that was really really kind of the stuff that was happening inside the ship and the stuff that you were doing inside the ship. And there wasn't a lot of that. It was just a lot of just massive, really slow space battles. And I felt that As a name holder like Star Trek, it really needed to be all about the space, and it really needed to be about just exploring the planet and not having these stupid missions that's the only reason you can go on the planet. Like, you couldn't actually go on the planet unless you were doing a mission or something. So I might be wrong, but you know, I was expecting more of a Star Wars Galaxy feel to Star Trek Online.
Didn't they say the planets were supposed to be randomly generated?
Yeah, it didn't feel like that. I felt like I was going on the same Tatooine planet. It was terrible. Yeah. So no, it was just a bad experience. Star Trek was just a horrible idea, and at least from the Sony Entertainment should have never gotten the rights to this. I'm not even sure why they thought, hey, they've made so many good MMOs in the past, we should give Sony Entertainment the rights to make another hot MMO. Yeah, that's like a great... No, that's just stupid. I mean, give it to Blizzard or something to do something with it, like, cool, I don't know. So yeah, there's apparently Vanguard went free to play, kind of a spiel off of that. But Kat, continue, please.
Right. Yeah, our next news shocker is BioShock movie loses yet another director. If you didn't know, BioShock was actually being turned into a movie. Yes, that's right, BioShock. If you've never played the game, then you might want to look it up online. It is, it was a kind of a cool game. I played a little bit, but the BioShock attempts to hit the silver screen have stalled out. The director, Juan Carlos, has left the project, putting an indefinite hold on production. The budget agreement on the budget hasn't been reached, so the movie is pretty much put on hold. So if you've been looking forward to watching BioShock the movie, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Dang it, I'll have to cancel my ticket.
Now, I think the best way for them to make this good is to have Rapture, but in a volcano.
Shrek, stop talking, please. Just you are no longer allowed to talk.
The first one was under the sea, the next one's going to be in the air, the next one's volcano.
The next, what? The next one's not in the air?
Yes, it is. Haven't you seen BioShock Infinite?
No, that's like, just the that's just one of the many transportation systems. What?
Air.
Stop talking, Shriggs. Just stop talking. Stop talking. But no, I mean,
seriously, you all that you said to me.
I could kick you right now, bro.
We still love you, Shriggs. The next comic needs to be about BioShock in the air. There we go.
Yeah. There you go. Next comic idea. It's your you're a big daddy that's holding on to balloons, shooting people from space. There you go.
I'm glad we had this conversation.
There you go. And our last news, this actually has nothing to do with video games, but it has more along the lines of technology and our new cutting-edge modern technology. Microsoft re-engineers the Mustang. What if you take the world's most ionic jock and install the brains of some of the smartest tech nerds on the planet? Will you get the Micro Stang by West Coast Customs? And Microsoft takes a classic Mustang and tunes it in with cutting-edge technology. This bad boy has everything. If you want to see a picture of what this looks like, you go to our website at www.codeboxmedia.com, and you can click on the link, Microsoft Reengineering the Mustang. The project is it's called Project Detroit by Microsoft, and it's Stang by WCC, because the car is the... Oh, let's see. This has everything. The project chooses Ford's latest style for a much more beloved, timeless look of the 1967 Mustang, rather than just going with a stock classic, but has everything techie and a 2012 Mustang Chase.
Okay, this car sounds cool, but the way they pitched it was just hilarious. It's like, take the biggest asshole you can think of and then give him the smartest people's brains. And what do you get? The world's smartest asshole. I mean, come on.
Let me take a guess at what this thing actually does. I think it drives itself while you play computer games in the front seat.
That'd be
that
sweet. That would be the car
of
all cars. Kat would never have to ever miss a Mass Effect moment. She'd be like, you know what? We're going to pause here, transfer it to my vehicle, and you can be like, let's just go somewhere. I don't care. And your kids would be screaming at you that they're hungry. And you're like, not now. Mommy's playing Mass Effect while driving on the middle of the highway.
We need to get on this shit. Where's Hyundai?
Well, if it's modern, cutting-edge technology, then I wouldn't have to worry about cooking because then I could just have it automatically input the GPS system to go to McDonald's and just order for my kids.
We've made a transformer. It is the first Autobot. There you go. That's actually pretty cool, though. I mean,
nerd pride.
Well, no, I mean, it's neat to see that Microsoft isn't just concerned about computers. They're trying to improve, you know, cars and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, if Apple's not careful, Microsoft will come out with the first M car or something. I don't know. You know, but, you know, Apple probably has some stupid secret flying eye saucer that's going to be released in, like, 3012 or something. They're like, introducing the eye saucer. It does everything
right?
The iPad does for you, but more. It's just like, you know, or like the eye shoes or some stupid crap like that that's just not necessary, but it's just going to be so cool, but no one can afford it. So.
Yeah, I talked to her. It opens the pocket dimension to put all your stuff.
There you go. You know, the last piece of information I want to talk about is Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition. This was revealed, I believe it was last week. Are you guys excited for this? As excited for this as I am, or because I was a huge Baldur's Gate fan, and if this gets released for the PC, I might have to gobble it up. Because it's,
Baldur's Gate is a classic.
Oh my gosh, it is. It is. If you guys don't know what Baldur's Gate is, it's one of BioWare's really first, really like super famous, prominent games that they kind of really went balls to the walls with and did a phenomenal job. Think of the Mass Effect 1 and 2 having a past baby and it giving birth to Mass Effect 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Not really. Okay, yeah. But for those of you who are wondering, like, who cares? It's an enhanced. It's going to be in HD, basically. It's going to be, you know, just a little bit more higher res textures, et cetera, et cetera. Because, excuse me, I have tried to play Baldur's Gate the original again, and holy crap, is it pixelated.
Right.
I'm just like, oh my gosh, my eyes, it hurt. It's like playing 007 and trying to be your super awesome self when you're playing against your friends and you're starting to go over because you're just like, oh my gosh, these graphics are hurting my face because they're just so old. And I'm really excited for this. It'll be interesting to see if they maybe change around some of it or if they're just retexturing the entire game and just making it out to be the HD version. What do you guys think, Kat? Do you think that they might change anything or that maybe they'll add some stuff now that they have some technology to do anything with it?
Right. No, I don't think so. I think BioWare's pretty much, you know, set their leash and their limits on with Baldur's Gate. But I think the enhancements are kind of a step in the right direction because I'd replay it. I enjoyed the game, you know, so I'd replay it with better graphics.
I'll be honest, I would probably whip out all my notes that I probably have stashed somewhere in a box and be like, okay, this is how we play the game because I'm not going to get stuck on this puzzle for an hour and a half again or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, we do have game facts, so that's very helpful. But, that actually brings up an interesting point. It's so funny going through a game and then you get stuck and go, crap, I don't really have the time to figure this out. You go on the internet and just Google it and the answer's there. Back when we were kids, we had to sit there for 4 hours and go, how do you beat this stupid boss? Or why can't I see this? Or blah. I mean, it's just Zelda Ocarina of Time example. And did you know how long that game took me to beat without game facts? A long time.
A fucking while.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, so yeah. But oh well. Anything else on the new reel?
Kind of.
Well, I have a comparison to make.
A comparison?
What?
Yeah. I see this reimagining of Baldur's Gate very similar to what South Park did about the BP oil spill, where the BP guys made this commercial ad campaign where the head of BP was just saying, sorry.
Oh, yeah, we're sorry, like a bunch of times.
Sorry.
Like, yeah.
Now, this is BioWare's sorry for the ending of Mass Effect.
Well, you'd be right, except this was released, this was announced before Mass Effect 3's debacle,
because
so.
They knew the ending was going to be bad.
Well, yeah, they knew, but I don't think they thought that they would get caught. I think they definitely underestimated the internet. anyway, Kat, you were saying.
Oh no, he pretty much summed up a lot of the things that I was going to say.
Oh, okay, cool, excellent. Well, I guess it's time for closing statements and final words. If anyone else, you guys have anything else to add to the very unorganized show?
Intangibles.
Oh. There you go, intangibles. So, with that music, we shall bow out. And kind of close up the show. Let's see. What have we learned today? Anything of relevance? I have learned a little bit more about streaming thanks to Alex of Ghost Gaming. Make sure to check him out. I believe he's streaming right now. Just go over to twitch.tv/ghost0523 and say hi. And let's try and get Code Fox Media spammed in the chat and see if we can get in trouble. don't ask. But, yeah, definitely check Alex out. He streams every weekday starting around 7 to 8 Central Pacific time. There we go. Kat, what have you learned?
I actually learned today that Microsoft is leaning a little bit more towards our modern vehicles, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing a little bit more of Boulder's Gate coming up. Mm-hmm. And if any of our listeners want to kind of recap or find out a little bit more what we've been discussing, you can go to boxhead.codeboxmedia.com and click on the Boxhead Seats and Gamers 3.4. This is this episode, or you can look at some of our past episodes and listen to those as well.
Exactly. For those of you who are wondering, the episode that we had, PitchBot Games, was 3.3. I would highly recommend. Wow, I'm trying to say two words at once. I would highly recommend checking it out. Probably one of our favorite shows so far. I really enjoyed talking to those guys. Wonderful new upcoming MMO called Dominus. Now, it looks pretty cool. There's a bounty hunter system that I'm going to abuse and always crunch Riggs' head. So, just kind of look for that. If you want to get into the beta, go ahead and over there and sign up. I would highly recommend trying to get in and just kind of seeing what the game is going to bring you guys. As always, you guys can follow us on Twitter at Codebox Media. Facebook is /Codebox Media. YouTube is /Codebox Media. We keep it simple. And as always, guys, make sure to tune in next week. We will have another thrilling and stellar interview with a special guest that we don't reveal until usually the day or two before the show, because we like secrets and we like making you go, oh, cool, surprises. I'm not even sure where that voice came from, but it's been a hell of a week for all three of us. Shriggs apparently went to a wedding where people fainted. Kat has just been playing Mass Effect 3 and getting swag, which, by the way, what did you get for that? I've actually wanted to ask you that, and I just never got to it.
I got a nice hoodie and some messenger bags and some in-game gear.
Nice, nice. Cool. Was it worth it?
Very much.
There you go. That's all we needed to hear from a very committed and crazy Mass Effect 3 player. And how many hours are you going on now?
Over 1,000.
Oh my gosh. Go outside.
What?
That's ridiculous. But anyway, guys, thank you guys once again for listening. Please go over to codeboxmedia.com and check out all the news articles that we have there on a daily basis. Also, Shriggs did just post a comic for this week. It's about the game Journey. Journey is an awesome, emotional-driven, epic game for the PlayStation 3. Such a great game, and if you've actually beaten it and or know the ending, you will get a very nice chuckle out of the comic this week. Once again, guys, I have Ben Bezio. Thank you to Kat, my wonderful co-host, and Shriggs, our semi-co-host and call screener and wonderful art guy. That is your official name, the art guy. Remember, guys, complaining will get you everywhere. Damn it, you guys still have not gotten it. Son of a bitch.
I'm waiting.
I was starting my Mass Effect 3.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. We're going to get this eventually. It's just going to take like a year and a half down the road. And eventually I'll say it and everyone will just kind of do it. And I'll be so shocked that I'll mess it up. Okay. We're going to try it again. Remember, guys, complaining will get you everywhere.
Heaven is a woman. Hell is a woman kicking your ass in PvP.
Pat needs to stop taking my line because I ruined the show.
Yes, you do. All right, guys. Take care.
Yes.
See you next week.